What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, the morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is March 28th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. It was opening day yesterday, and it was so much fun, and I don't know how I still have a voice. I really don't know how. You got to be there. Why? Because we can watch the live game with you. It is so cool. I can just bring on anyone from the industry, anyone from the chat onto the live stream and just chill like it's a living room as we watch baseball. Seriously, you just log in with your MLB.TV credentials and you showcase that you have a subscription and there you go. You're all set. You watch the games with us. It's great. Check it out. It's free. So just go to playback.tv/pitcherlist. You can watch the MLB free game of the day without getting an MLB.TV subscription there. It's awesome. Okay. We had opening day. A lot of starts. There really aren't many things to actually really tell you about. But Mackenzie Gore, my gosh, 6 innings, 0 runs, 1 hit, 0 walks, and 13 strikeouts, 20 whiffs, and a 39% CSW. He had a golden goal, which is amazing, of course. That means he had the highest CSW count and the highest whiff count of any starting pitcher yesterday. And I had him ranked at 28 out of 28 on my daily streaming rankings. But you have to understand, don't hate me. It was just all aces. And Gore was going against the Phillies, and last year he was so inconsistent. We didn't know if he'd be really good or really bad. And I still said he was questionable, not a do not start. But what did we see? Something that was very good with Gore. 51% slider usage against lefties. It was 30% last year, but that slider last year was really a cutter at 90 miles per hour. And he kept that cutter, like he threw 6 of them. But he threw 23 sliders that were actually sliders, 86 to 87, far more drop than the cutter last year. A pure gyro slider, 8 for 23 whiffs. He conquered lefties with this slider. So cool. Didn't throw it against righties at all. So he really cut back on the curveball against lefties and completely. It was just slider four-seamer. Still has a very good four-seamer, 95-96, with all the good pitch metrics he like. And I'm digging this. I mean, this feels more real than I've seen Gore. The real question is command, right? I wouldn't even say that he spotted pitches really well. A lot of things were in the middle with the slider and the four-seamer. The curveball was okay. You know, like it wasn't really this amazing offering selection to right-handers. Like he had some nice cutters in there, which is good. I was always excited about that one down and in to right-handers when he's cooking with that. But it's a little strange. It's the first day of the year, and I don't want us to say like, oh no, this is it. This is Mackenzie Gore's amazing run now. Keep in mind, the third start of the year last year, Mackenzie Gore had 11 strikeouts, okay, and 1 walk. Like, that really should tell you, right, he does this at times. It's a little different because of the slider, and I wonder if that really is a difference maker for him. However, yeah, I don't fully trust it yet. But yeah, we have Mackenzie Gore on our teams. We roll with it. If someone's wants to get him right now and is so in on it, sure, sell high. But I don't think you're going to be able to do that. You just grow again, and we'll take it from there. Framber Valdez, 7 innings and 0 runs for its 2 walks and 4 strikeouts, got the win against the Mets. What's so funny is Framber Valdez, my biggest criticism of him is that, well, you have the sinker that's kind of hittable, and then you don't have a 60% strike rate among your other pitches. Now, the curveball in the second half last year released from the start of August through the end was absurd. It was like a 70% strike rate all of a sudden. And before then, it was like 55%. Well, yeah, it was 58% strike rate here, but 9 over 31 whiffs. Oh, man, it's Valdez. He is who he is, I guess. And you have him, you're going to roll with him. There are going to be ups and downs and whatever. Sean Burke went against the Angels, and he was the stream pick of the day because he's the only option for the stream pick of the day. 5% rostered. He got the win against the Angels here. 6 innings, 0 runs, 3 hits, 0 walks, and 3 Ks. 8 whiffs, 30% CSW. And only 73 pitches, but hey, good way to be efficient. The Angels aren't very good. I believe he also hit Mike Trout, so that's how you don't have those hits. But what is interesting here is that there's a slower slider. 71% strike rate. 5 over 28 whiffs is fine. My quick mental math put that as like a 17% swing strike rate, something like that. But I want it to be better. This is supposed to be a 20% swing strike rate pitch. Same with the curveball, which didn't have a single whiff, I believe, over like 14 thrown. And also the four-seamer wasn't 96 that we saw last year. It was 94. So I'm a little weirded out by the success of Sean Burke here. Lots of strikes, but not overwhelming. And I think because it was the Angels where you had this result. He does get the Tigers next week, though, and that's not really that scary either. I'm not really going to jump on the torque train quite yet. So I guess we're going to roll with Burke one more time. I don't like the fact, though, that it is 94. It was 94 in the spring, and that concerned me because it was a young guy underneath his velocity. And generally, we see young guys at their season velocity. And what do you know? That 94 continued here. So 96, Sean Burke, with his extension and verts is exciting. 94, not as exciting, especially if he's not commanding in the same way. Luis Severino against the Mariners. Oh, well, guess what? Seattle is a wonderful place to pitch still. The tea, because it's not the cold beer of Coors. It is the hot tea of T-Mobile Park. And it's the anti-Coors. You have 6 innings, 0 runs, 3. It's 4 walks, 6 Ks. Why? Because his sweeper, that was his most thrown pitch, was a 52% strike rate. Man, how would he... Seattle is so nice. I'm a little skeptical of this. It is really cool, though. Severino is doing what my favorite pitchers do, which is they ramp up as the season goes on. Your hardest thrown inning should be your last inning. And it was here. 99 is what he hit in his final inning, the final pitch that he threw with his four-seamer. You love to see that. But yeah, 52% strike rate on the sweeper, and then... lefty's got some cutters that I used to like a bit, but I don't know if it's really that good. I'm a little weirded again about Severino. I think it's just the matchup, really. But hey, if you did this, that's great. I don't want to go with Severino against the Cubs. We have Logan Gilbert on the other side. 7 innings and 1 run, 2 hits, 0 walks and 8 Ks. Watching it looked great, but then again, it's against Oakland and in Seattle. He went 23 for 24 strikes in the four-seamer, but he only got 2 whiffs on it. You know, so he was 24 strikes and only getting 2 whiffs is really bad. It's just not that pitch that he spots really well and doesn't quite set up. Like, the at-bats for Gilbert are so frustrating because it's just kind of, he's a hurler, right? He's a thrower, not really a pitcher. I'm happy that he has the control, but it's not this like surgical takedown of batters. And it forever bothers me. It's why I didn't really want to put him in my top 5 starting pitchers. But hey, he did exactly what he was supposed to do in Seattle. The real question is if Logan Gilbert is going to perform well on the road. And we didn't really see him have as good of a time on the road, but he does so well at home that, you know, we accept it. So, all right, let's see how he does the rest of the way. Zach Wheeler, of course, ace is going to ace. Everything's great there. 6 innings, 1 run, 2. It's 2 walks, 8 strikeouts. Carlos Rodon had a very interesting start. 5.1 innings, 1 run, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 7 Ks. Changeup is there, which is great against right-handers. It's what you want to see from last year. He also had this new one-seamer sinker that had a lot of extra drop, and that's really fun. And I wonder if that's going to be a major asset for him against right-handers. It's not really the best ride into left-handers, so it could be an effective thing against them. Really, the slider is just killing it against lefties and everything's cool. And I did 9 over 28 whiffs. So I'm very excited here about Rodon. I think this is the best version of him. And it's a really good thing to keep going here. Eovaldi had 10 over 22 whiffs on his curve. And he had an amazing game against the Red Sox. 6 innings, 2 runs, 3 hits, 0 walks, and 9 strikeouts. 17 whiffs because of that curve. That's awesome. I really hope that curve actually sticks around. Because that's not really the Eovaldi thing. It's been like four-seamers, cutters, and splitters. Without the curveball being that kind of pitch, but I hope so. Zach Eflin did well. I mean, 6 innings, 2 runs, 2 hits, 1 walk, 2 Ks. Cool. 5 over 16 whiffs on sweepers. That's nice. And that was all but one of his whiffs. And 21% usage is pretty interesting for Zach Eflin as well. He's a Toby, though, because he's just 2 strikeouts. He's not really going to go do strikeouts. But yeah, I mean, maybe he's a Holly. I hope he's a Holly. That'd be cool. Paul Skenes ace is going to ace. I know he led 200 runs against the Marlins, but who cares? He's amazing. Hunter Green, 5 innings of 200 runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 8 strikeouts. He looks great. He really does. The velocity is absurd. It's a 99 plus now that he was at 97 and change. It's crazy. He's also at 17 to 18 inches of vert, not the 16 and a half that was already the jump last year from 14 and a half. And the slider went 63% strikes. That's what we want. But the greatest upgrade was the Cincinnati camera angle. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much. It was such a bad camera angle for so long. This is dead center. Oh, I'm so excited to watch Robbie Ray's changeup there on Sunday. And Nick Lodolo. Oh, man. It's going to be so good. Freddy Peralta against the Yankees looked really bad at first. He did not have his command working. And even the home run against Austin Wells was like middle up, and Wells hit that one out fine. But five innings, 200 runs, four hits, one walk, and eight strikeouts. He settled in. He favored the curve over sliders. Only two sliders against the right-handers, and just in general, too. It's kind of weird. But the four-seamer is cooking, and that's nice. The change did a really good job against left-handers, and that's cool. So we saw some Professor Chaos from Freddy Peralta, but then he settled down. That's nice. We got Garrett Crochet. He didn't have the most overwhelming first start, but 14 whiffs and 88 pitches. He's slightly down in his extension, just under 7 feet instead of just above 7 feet. Yeah, everything's cool about Garrett Crochet. Sonny Gray was at 91, and he was at like 90, 91 in spring as well. So he actually adjusted to feature more curves, sinkers, cutters, sweepers than he normally would. Five innings, 200 runs, four hits, two walks, and six Ks. Good for him for coming through. I'm not the biggest Sonny Gray fan. I don't think this really changes much. And I think the Twins are a little banged up as far as their offense goes. But good job to Sonny Gray for adapting with that. Nothing really new here with Sonny Gray, but it is disappointing to see that the velocity is still down. I hope it doesn't stick around that way. We've got a lot of other guys to talk about. Sandy Alcantara made his return. Clay Holmes, is this okay? Pablo Lopez, is he good or is he not? We're going to talk about all these guys and more in tomorrow's streamers after this break. Pablo Lopez won five innings, 200 runs, eight hits, zero walks, and three strikeouts. Three strikeouts, what's going on? Well, I did like the changeup so much. This was peak changeup for Pablo Lopez. Oh my gosh. It made me so happy to see it. Amazing depth. He added more depth to this pitch. The locations, the lefties, was amazing. 5 over 18 whiffs. Sweepers were generally good. There were effective sinkers inside to right-handers. I think, honestly, it's just times where he just throws these fastballs or pitches over the plate, and guys just hit them. You know, they hit their mistakes. It happens, but like Pablo Lopez looks great. I'm in on this. It's annoying to see eight hits because that's always the problem with Pablo Lopez is the hit rate. And so it goes, but I really think that Pablo Lopez is feeling good and looking great, and I'm so in on this. Blake Snell has given us a Blake Snell experience. Guess what? Four walks and five hits in five innings, but two runs. Only two strikeouts is kind of weird. But then again, the curveball that was the savior pitch for Blake Snell last year, remember, he went on this great stretch, and it's always a different way. It was a changeup in previous years, and the slider showing up before, and the fastball getting fixed. This one was the curveball last year. All of a sudden was this ridiculous high strike rate. 50% strikes on 28 thrown. Oh my gosh. Blake Snell, this is what you always do, right? April and May are just like, what are we going to do with you? And we are banking on this guy being the absolute stud in July or June or whatever it is for the rest of the year. Can we always rely on this? This is why I didn't rank Blake Snell high. I know I'm being stupid because it's one game. I know. But it's like, all right, give me a reason to not feel that way, please. Clay Holmes, otherwise known as the Adobe. A lot of conversation about Clay Holmes entering this year. And the way I see it is I had him ranked outside of the reliable starters. Like, I think the reliable ones ended at Seth Lugo at 41 in my last edition of the list. And that means I was like, all right, who are the upside guys I really want to chase and believe in? I had Gavin Williams, I had Drew Rasmussen, Dustin May, Grant Holmes, Jackson Jobe, Richard Fitz, and Max Meyer. These are like all of the really fun ones instead of going for your Jose Barrios and your Taj Bradleys and Mackenzie Gore. To be fair, I did not rank Mackenzie Gore favorably, did not expect that slider, nor did I expect him, well, do I expect him to be consistent throughout the entire year still? But that could be a huge miss for me, and I'm really excited about that because I want Mackenzie Gore to be amazing. But Clay Holmes was one that I wasn't as sold upon as others and still wanted on my teams. And what we saw yesterday, 4.2 innings, 200 runs, 5 hits, 4 walks, and 4 Ks against the Astros. We saw a little bit of this, and it was actually not the way that I expected. The sinker is generally the wild one for Clay Holmes, but that was actually 70% strike rate. We have everything else not being a high strike rate. Everything else was under 60%, really actually hovering 50% across all of his other pitches. And what I really think here is that Clay Holmes is just getting comfortable into this. Like, there will be a moment that he finally finds his groove and it's cool, like, this is what my kick change is like, this is my breaking balls and everything like that. first start of the year, first time starting in an MLB game. Like, give him a break here against the Astros. You're going to keep rolling with this. You don't drop Clay Holmes the Adobe. But yeah, the four walks are the thing to really note here. Like, we saw multiple three-walk games in the spring. I think that's the thing for Clay Holmes. And I would not say that command is the best asset of Clay Holmes. Every Yankee fan will tell you that. You have Sandy Alcantara, 4.2 innings of 200 runs, 2 hits, 4 walks, 7 Ks. Oh, the fear is always the walks. No, no, no. Those walks happened in his final inning in the fifth. Most of them did. And he was kind of gassed. He was at 91 pitches. Sandy Alcantara, look, we were ready for this to be like 65 pitch games for Sandy Alcantara because the Marlins said, yeah, we're going to slow him down and then make him more appealing for trades. And then all of a sudden, Craig Mish twice was like, guys, I'm right about this. He is going long in games. And yeah, 91 pitches for Sandy. He almost got out of this one too before multiple long at-bats that really knocked him out of this one. And he looked so good. I mean, I really can't tell you enough of how fun it was to see him throw these 24-inch ride sinkers. You're like, Nick, I don't understand the context of this. Look, you normally see sinkers move like a foot and a half at most. Like, those are like the good ones. That's 18 inches, right? When you see guys doing 2 feet of horizontal movement on a sinker and averaging that, whoa, that is so much movement at 99, right? It's crazy. So yeah, 7 strikeouts, guys. That was also the big knock against Alcantara, right? Oh, strikeouts aren't going to be a thing. 7 Ks. Not to mention, he threw a slider more against left-handers. It was actually, I remember seeing 6 pitches, I think, to lead off the second inning for Alcantara. Not one of them was above 93. He threw sliders a ton. And actually, incorrectly, 0-2, down and in slider, and it kept going at it. When he has this changeup that should be so good away, and I remember being actually upset on the live stream, because right, remember, playback.tv/pitchless, guys, you gotta come and watch these games with us. What are you doing? Stop watching alone. It is so much more fun with our chat and community and all these people on stage watching the same game as you. Just please, come on by. But yeah, so Sandy Alcantara, I am trading from everywhere that I can right now, because this is Sandy. Like, this is Sandy. Yusei Kikuchi against the White Sox, 6 innings, 300 runs, 5 hits, 0 walks, 5 Ks. A little disappointing, and honestly, all the signs that I do not want. This is a poor quality start, 94-95, not 95-96 on the fastball. He has an inch less of vert on this as well. The slider was not reliable. It has far less break than it did last year, and a tick down in velocity. I'm not happy. And here's the thing. I've been out on Kikuchi, not because I think Kikuchi can be bad as a pitcher and everything, but because I don't trust the Angels to correct him, to like fix him and work through this season. So yeah, Yusei Kikuchi, not in on this one. This was against the White Sox. Oh boy. He does get a nice start next though. So I guess you're going to continue for at least one more week with Kikuchi, but ugh. Logan Webb against the Reds was a very strange one. 5 innings of 300 runs, 6 hits, 3 walks, and 5 Ks. He threw 30% changeups last year, and here it was 11.5%. Oh my gosh. He favored the cutter and the sweeper more. The overall strike rate was horrific. Sinker was his normal self at 70% strikes. Actually, at 15 over 37 called strikes, which is what, like 38% or something? Yeah, so Logan Webb is great, except for these weird 50% strikes on everything else. What? That's not him. Cole Reagans, obviously you guys are a little weird because it was 5 innings, 300 runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, 3 Ks. I'm a little worried that the velocity was down. It went down to 95.3. We're not seeing that 96 to 100 that we saw previously. He didn't quite have like the best command. And it's really been this frustrating thing with Reagans because like you know how good he can be. When he gets locked in like this, it's just so good. But it wasn't his best game. And the thing is, it wasn't his best game, and yet it was still like digestible. You know, it didn't ruin your week or anything like that. So don't worry about Cole Reagans for now. Ben Lively had to pitch because Tanner Bibee had food poisoning. And yeah, 5 innings, 300 runs, 4 hits, 0 walks, 3 Ks, like 67 pitches. He wasn't even supposed to be here today. I see him still as a 15-team Toby. Really, I think Ben Lively guy gets underrated because I know it's 89-90, but he utilizes his extension well. He's pretty flat on the four-seamer, so he does that against lefties, and then righties get these sinkers and high sliders. But yeah, I think he's okay, you know. Chris Sale, 5 innings, 3 runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, 7 strikeouts. Honestly, ace is going to ace. He's cool. Changeup usage went up to 30%, and that's awesome. You guys are freaking out about Granholm's going in relief. Stop that. Everything's fine. It's the first game of the season, and Granholm's didn't just pitch. So what do? They do his bullpen now, and then he goes regularly. He went 1 inning of like 9 pitches. It's fine. You normally see this on opening day because usually you don't see the starting pitcher go as deep as usual in 5 innings. So cool. You got one more inning from Granholm's, and there you go. Might as well take the bullpen in the game. Michael King did not look good, but he had a sinker at 23 inches of horizontal movement, right? It's like 100th percentile. And he just didn't have strike rates on anything. 60%, not hit on any of them. Everything was under 60% in all of his pitches. That is not the Michael King we know. So 2.2 innings of 300 runs, four walks and 3 Ks. Yeah, you can expect much better than that. Justin Steele, 5 innings, 300 runs, but he got a win. 6 hits, 1 walk, 2 Ks. His command wasn't as good. Again, with a lot of these guys that we normally see having better command, usually this is kind of what happens at the beginning of the year. Some guys are locked in right away. Some guys need a couple more starts. It's all good. Same with Tarik Skubal. I mean, it was against the Dodgers. He led a home run. Okay. 5 innings, 400 runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, 2 Ks. I think it was 2 home runs, like Teoscar and Edmund. I think I'm right. But yeah, 3/22 whiffs on that changeup for Skubal is not going to last. Zach Gallen went against the Cubs. Did not look good. And I'm actually a little worried about him. His four-seamer had a sub-50% strike rate, which is just, oof. Curve, the death ball, 1/18 whiffs. Oh, man. 4 innings, 4 runs, 4 hits, 4 walks, 4 Ks. And I didn't realize he was one with the Force. He's a Star Wars fan. Okay. Yeah, I'm not the biggest fan of Zach Gallen. I don't think that his fastball is as good as it used to be. And I think that the changeup and slider cutter are not as stellar as they need to be, because the curveball is so good, but he needs to set up that pitch more. And I'm just a little worried about him. I hope he can be a Holly and not a hipster. That is someone who's dependable and you start him every time, as opposed to a hipster, a headache-inducing pitcher stifling the entire roster that you hold on for the entire year and you endure the same kind of 126 whip that he had last year. I hope that's not the case. And last and maybe least is Jose Berríos against the Orioles. 5 innings of 600 runs, 9 hits, 2 walks, 5 Ks. He looked good early in the first inning, maybe-ish. He had a terrible changeup to Adley Rutschman that was hit out. But he has those moments where you're like, oh man, this is really good. And then, right, he's a great undulator, sometimes even in starts. That is Jose Berríos. All right, looking forward to today and tomorrow's games. Yamamoto against Detroit, Cease against Atlanta, Ryan Pepiot and Luis Castillo. You're starting all of those. Hunter Brown against the Mets, you're just going to go for it. Same with Jack Flaherty, even though he's going against the Dodgers. I think you're going to do that. Probable start tier is Jeffrey Springs is the streamer of the day against the Mariners. It's in Seattle, so we're doing it. Kevin Gausman against the Orioles, you should be fine, but I don't love it. But I guess if I have Gausman, I'm going to do it. Questionable start, I'm worried about Ronaldo Lopez against the Padres. I think his velocity was down this spring, and that's pretty scary. And then you have Mitch Keller against the Marlins. Ugh, but fine, it's the Marlins, but I don't really want to ever go with Mitch Keller. Merrill Kelly might have a good defense around him against the Cubs. Tanner Houck against Texas in Texas. I think that Houck isn't that great and was really banged up in the spring. I'm terrified of that one. Jack Leiter's on the other side. I'm excited to watch it. You don't have to start Leiter here if you have him. He's really a stash play. I think it's fun to do, so I'm going to do it in the leagues I have Jack Leiter, but this is very high risk, high reward, and not even that high of a reward, because you know it's not going to be like 6 innings of clean baseball. You're just trying to go for like 5 innings of 1 run, hopefully, and like 8 Ks. That's what you're hoping for. That's a really fun one to watch. Charlie Morton and Jameson Taillon are also going. I don't like those guys really for your standard leagues, but if you're trying to chase a win, maybe 6 innings, you could get those from those guys. In the do not start tier, I'm really sorry to say that Tyler McGill against the Astros, I'm not chasing. I don't want to go for this. I think Tyler McGill's command is not good. It's very possible he does well. I'm not saying he can't, but I think the risk is too large and too high of a probability to then chase him locating his four seamers and also his secondaries underneath against a very good Astros team. And then you have Kyle Freeland in Tampa Bay, which I'm going to say not as bad as you'd think, but probably bad. And Connor Galipsey against the Pirates. No thank you whatsoever. All right, for tomorrow's streamers and the day after tomorrow, you can check my article on the site at pitcherless.com, of course, and I am now adding the day after tomorrow every single time for those with PL Pro. So go get PL Pro and you'll get access to my rankings one extra day in advance this year. But that is it. So my name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.